Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Shane Waldron is calling the plays. He was in Seattle the last 3 years off the Sean McVay tree.
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah, we're not live.
I'm playing. Good luck to y'all.
Yeah, I just don't get it. If I'm equal parts Bears fan and equal parts Seahawks fan, and I know what I know about Shane Waldron, you know, there's nothing about this hire that excites me. What I want out of my offensive coordinator is I want a guy that I could see as the future head coach. And there's nothing about Shane Waldron to me at all that screams future head coach.
Priding ourselves on having an offensive system, a group of coaches that can adapt and adjust the scheme to the player's skill set.
Williams pitches it to Swift. Swift in trouble, and down he goes! And the Colts hold!
Absolutely hate the play call. The play call is hard because when you get penetration in an option, it immediately forces the quarterback to be not a part of the play.
That was a 12-yard loss.
You know, because it's our job first to be great teachers, and then second, to be able to put guys in the right position, in the best position for their own individual success, to lead to our team's success.
And one of the things I discovered is they didn't have a first 15. You know, Shane was more so looking for, like, he had suggestions, and, you know, this is new for him, too. He's got a rookie quarterback. But I think Shane probably was trying to figure out, like, how to coach the rookie phenom. They wanted a vision. I think everybody wanted it. Caleb wanted it.
They go big here at the goal line, including Mercedes Lewis, the veteran tight end, and Roschon Johnson. They like to go to short yardage. Instead, look what they do.
Oh, the ball's out, Jim.
Ball is out. The ball is out, and it's picked up by the
commander. Keep running.
And they went with a play out of the Super Bowl down in New Orleans in 86. The fridge, William Refrigerator Perry play, remember that?
We've gone with a number one overall pick at quarterback again. Is this the group that you're going to take forward?
Six quarters now without a target for Cole Kmet. I mean, they were very inept.
There's got to be a change and adjustment to what we're doing because we, you know, obviously lost three in a row. There will be changes, adjustments being made. Again, I'm not going to disclose those right now. I'm not at that point in the process. You know, Monday's a long day.
We've got some breaking news.
The Bears have fired offensive coordinator Shane Waldron.
He's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Giddy up and let's ride. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. That's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. We got Tanny. We got Shane. We got you until 6 o'clock, and man, do we have a show. Kurt Warner is going to join us in 15 minutes, and then 15 minutes after that, Lance Briggs is going to be on the show to start a weekly trip with Spiegel and Holmes. That's going to be awesome. Then one of the guys that you heard in the Goodfellas treatment, Dave Softy Mahler, is going to join us at 3:40, and our buddy Jason Leisure will join us at 4 o'clock. Major news of the day, Shane Waldron is out. I don't know why you couldn't have done this yesterday, but Speegs, they did it today.
Yeah, they could have done it last week as well, but they waited and they waited and they waited and they've done it now. And it's still
the only offensive coordinator the franchise has ever fired mid-season, which is staggering. Not just a head coach they've never fired, offensive coordinator either. A couple of them have left in mid-season in the past, but never something quite as simple as this. I mean, there are a million things to talk about and all the Caleb stuff swirling, but the news, like you said, is that they interviewed 9 people and chose this guy. And he clearly had no idea how to set up a young quarterback for success and how to use 3 different wideouts and a tight end and a running back who's really good in space in smart ways and prep this offense to get it better than it is. It's football, so there's always blame to go around. But clearly, this dude was terrible at design and execution and also couldn't hold the interest of the men he was tasked to lead. Other than that, he was a terrific hire.
Hello to everyone who's out there listening. Shout out to the mob who's there on Twitch. There's someone who texted in and said, this guy doesn't deserve the Goodfellas treatment. Tanny, I think that we are in lockstep here. There was so much meat on the bone. You got to give him the Goodfellas treatment.
Yeah, I agree with the texter in principle. Like, you know, I always have that internal, you know, dialogue. Like, does this person deserve it? Because usually we save these things for people who have accomplished at least something.
Well, that was the question. Like, what are the parameters? Do you have to be beloved or is it accomplishment-based or interest?
Well, the reality is it's just you're trying to tell the story, the good and the bad. It's
That's
not
right.
always just celebrating the good. But
was there any good in there?
Well, no, there wasn't. but when you get fired by the McCaskies after just 10 games, that's pretty historic right there. We are witnessing history right now.
We folks. Really are.
And how about all of the breadcrumbs that are inside there too? It's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Yeah. Just like the pause. Like just the pause. Are we live? Are we live, right? Like all of that stuff.
When's the last time a broadcaster called the Bears offense inept during a game?
Glad we played it all yesterday. The unprecedented level of derision from Moose Johnston during the game. Yeah, there's a ton of breadcrumbs in there. And this is a guy who, how do you end up hiring him?
Speaks, this is my thing that I'm on. How does your hiring practice as an organization spin the wheel and land on this guy? It's hard for me to imagine. Wani talked a little bit about it this morning, where how does that guy walk into the room? And we know that even if you are a Shane Waldron fan, you don't think of him as someone who necessarily like commands the room. How does he walk into that room and fool Ian Cunningham, Ryan Poles, and Matt Eberflus into hiring him?
I have a partial answer for that. Been thinking about this a lot. The McCaskies want somebody that they can push around a little bit at the very tippity top. And they get that. And then that person wants somebody that he can push around a little bit. And then that person wants somebody that he can push around a little bit. There is a vacuum of badasses in this organization. There is not a strong leader on that coaching staff at all. And Matt Eberflus, like you've said, he didn't want Cliff Kingsbury around because that's intimidation. I mean,
I would disagree with you about the entire coaching staff. Well, I think there are a couple of badasses on that coaching staff.
Defensive coordinator?
And defensive backs coach.
Okay, that's fine. But certainly nobody on the offensive side. We'll see. The way that the players are talking about Thomas Brown.
Maybe we'll find out that's the guy that... And Richard Hightower, mm-hmm. I would also consider a badass. So
Matt Eberflus, though, chose a very weak leader of a human being, without a doubt. And he also schematically had a whole bunch of issues, but a bad communicator who can't command a room, who doesn't threaten Matt Eberflus, the defensive head coach, that has to be a factor in how you end up with this guy. Not the only thing, but it's got to be a factor.
Let's say the personality is an issue that for them. Like I don't know if I want to go so far to say that Ryan Poles is weak. I don't buy that either. Or Ian Cunningham. But I do wonder on if you say you want like a softer guy at that spot.
And what I mean, I don't think Ryan Poles is weak necessarily, but he's not going to hire a head coach who's stronger than him. He's a little intimidated by that. And Brad Holmes wasn't intimidated by that.
Not
in Detroit.
One bit.
You know,
shout out to my cousin.
Right. So yes. So like, you need, the McCaskies are afraid of a badass in the NFL, in the head coaching position. That's for damn sure. And that can lead to weakness hiring weakness.
Well, I still go, if you're Eberflus and you look at what the resume is. Who did you talk to? Who did you call?
Pete Carroll. 3 years of Pete Carroll.
Did you even call Pete Carroll? Because everything that we've heard from Pete Carroll it's a flashing red light of not to hire this guy. And I know that sometimes because of the fraternity of coaches, like maybe you did call Sean McVay and Sean McVay was like, oh, you know, this guy is really smart and he can do a lot of stuff. What was your cross-checking? Like, how did you go about? And to me, it should be easy to have him in a room with Eberflus and say, okay, I'm running this. How are you going to beat me with this personnel?
Right.
Oh, that's how you, okay, I'm going to do this now. How do you beat that? Okay, you're going to do that? Cool. I'm going to A-gap mug and then drop my guys in the zone. How do you expect your rookie quarterback is going to beat that? I can't imagine that even on the board that Waldron won that conversation with Eberflus. And what Eberflus should be looking for, even if it's not a match personality type, you should want the smartest guy
you
could find to pair with your quarterback.
100%.
Because it's going to make it so that your career elongates. You're going to have a longer career if your offense is good because your defense is already good.
Yeah. Now, look, Lawrence, they thought the quarterback was going to be the great deodorant. They thought the quarterback was going to be that guy. And they're full of people that have not ever taught, really, and helped a rookie quarterback learn how to do this thing. What does Eberflus know about who he's talking to about that? You know, we're hoping that Poles brought whatever he observed in the Mahomes process in Kansas City.
But you would think
that's the best thing that we could have hoped for that was being brought.
There have been, what, 8 people on this staff that have been removed from 8 hires that Matt Eberflus has made
in the last 14 months
that have left here. You would think that inside of that process, there would be a refining of how do we go about finding the people that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Brown was one of the guys that they reject, like interviewed for this job initially and didn't get it. Now he's got an opportunity to kind of turn things around, and we'll get to know him later on in the show.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff about Thomas Brown for you, including some context on what happened in Carolina that we got to get to.
It strikes me as such bad business practice to run your outfit like this, where even if you are, if you're intimidated by, I don't know, like a Dan Campbell type, if you're intimidated by someone who's got a lot of bluster.
Or a Cliff Kingsbury type.
You should still be looking for the expertise.
Dude, the no comment by Cliff Kingsbury when asked about his interview process has left a mark, has really left a mark. And then the stuff that's getting written by people, Mike Sando yesterday, and some of the stuff now about the power vacuum at Halas Hall and historically in this franchise is some scary stuff. Man,
I do wonder if, like, the quarterback has deodorant, the quarterback fixes everything in your organization. I do wonder if they were like, it doesn't really matter who we hire because the quarterback's so smart that he's going to be able to work through it.
Quarterback told us a couple weeks ago, players on great teams, the players lead. He's a rookie talking about leading. He referenced it again this past Sunday. Didn't finish the quote, but he wanted to talk about it again, about how the players lead. And we've talked about it all year, that the players have been driving this bus way too damn much.
They have been. And the thing that I would say as it pertains to making that jump in leadership is what worked in high school for you as an elite player, what worked for you in college as a Heisman Trophy winner might not work for you in the NFL. And those are things that you have to work through. And I have faith that I might be the only one at this point that has faith that Caleb can work through a lot of this stuff and become a great leader. But I think that there are some questions in that regard too, of what are you doing? Are you doing something to get better every single day?
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are questions in that regard. Let's talk with Kurt Warner. He's going to join us to get his thoughts on all of this stuff. Don't go anywhere. Lance Briggs at 3 o'clock. You're listening to
the holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
We will rally around Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Just reserve, you know, your opinions.
That's a wonderful time for us to jump in and say goodbye and then ask for some phone calls from people who watch the game.
Two-time NFL MVP.
They talk about this, the greatest show on turf, maybe the best offense ever in football.
Super Bowl champion.
Warner to throw. Going deep downfield. Adjusting for it is Isaac Bruce. Touchdown. 73 yards.
Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Not just the NFL Hall of Fame. And I wear that as a badge of honor because without pro football, in all its forms and fashions, I'm not here tonight.
NFL Network Analyst.
And Tracy in tears as he leaves the field.
And a big part of building a culture, finding ways to win football games, helps you to start believe every time you step between the lines.
Radio analyst for Westwood One Sports.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night. Let's go to the second quarter.
I am not sure what that means, people.
I don't know either, but I just said it.
Sit here and shake my head.
Let's go to the second quarter. 3-0 Chiefs.
Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Kevin Harlan called him the big horse. He's our big horse.
You're a big horse, and you must be ridden every Monday night.
That's just amazing radio last week.
It sounded too personal, frankly, for us to hear.
It's a little personal, but I thought it was great. Kurt Warner now joining us here on The Score. Kurt, thank you for joining us. Obviously, it's a big news day here in Chicago with the Bears moving on from Shane Waldron. What's your initial reaction to this?
My initial reaction, and how you guys doing? My initial reaction is always, it's never about one person. And, you know, it's always the unfortunate part of it is that we want to, you know, put ownership on somebody when oftentimes it's a lot of different people involved. And, you know, sometimes the change can be good. We all understand that, you know, looking at things a little differently, you know, getting a little different nuance to what you do. But so often in these situations, there's a lot of people that are responsible. And, you know, I always hate people being fired. I hate anybody getting fired. And so that's, I think, the tough part about this. But, you know, I think the other side of it is realizing that whatever it was, it wasn't working. And, you know, everybody had to come together and, you know, Caleb hadn't come along, although we saw some strides early on, hadn't come along here down the stretch the way everybody had wanted him to. And unfortunately, somebody's going to be held responsible for it. But, you know, just watching the game yesterday is kind of, you know, what the stuff that I've seen all year long is that, yeah, some you could put on, you know, play design, in my opinion, things that I wasn't a huge fan of, wasn't always creating easy opportunities for the quarterback. There was other times where I thought the wide receivers got physically beat up at the line of scrimmage and didn't win their routes and give the quarterback a chance. And then there were other times where Caleb missed things in front of him and, you know, made bad throws or missed some reads in front of him. So it's kind of the same stuff that we've seen all year long outside of a couple games where there's just a variety of different things going wrong with this football team. And it's what's led to some bad offensive football the last few weeks. And, you know, again, you know, where you want to put the blame, you know, I thought there was plenty of blame to go around. But again, you get to this point, and I understand. Yeah, I've been in this business long enough that the pressure starts to mount, and the pressure starts to mount across the board, not just on the offense and Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron, but also on Coach Flus, and, you know, understanding that, you know, something's got to change, and, you know, they've got to make strides for him to possibly keep his job when, you know, when it's all said and done. And so I've seen coaches, you know, like, okay, this isn't working. I got to try something else to, you know, hopefully salvage, you know, what started out as a good season and now is starting to fall apart a little bit.
So they've elevated Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator, to the offensive coordinator and play caller. What can change from now to the rest of the season, and what cannot change from now to the rest of the season, to your experience?
Well, you know, there's obviously different things that you can do. You know, I think about the Buffalo Bills a couple years ago when, you know, they made the move to Joe Brady, I think it was last year. You know, and they started introducing some new things, you know, a few new concepts, but, you know, some new formations and movements and some things that helped, I think, create some easier opportunities for Josh. The scheme as a whole stayed the same. You know, they didn't do a lot of plays differently. But, you know, but they doctored them up a little bit, and maybe that made it a little bit easier or a little bit more clear for Josh last year, because they started having success after the fact. And then the more they're together, the more they're able to introduce some new things. And so I'm assuming it's going to be pretty much the same, especially if Thomas was kind of the pass game coordinator anyway. So again, I don't know what all those terms mean and who exactly does what, and if he's the one designing the plays and the pass plays, well, then maybe a lot of that stuff will stay the same, or if he just has input on what they're doing. But, you know, terminology and things that you've worked on, you know, since training camp, you're not all of a sudden just going to, you know, kind of throw all that stuff in the trash and just start anew. So you've got to try to figure out a balance of what did we do that we liked? What did we do that Caleb's comfortable with? What are our staples? And then as we go week to week, how much new stuff can we introduce? Assuming they have to introduce new stuff because what they were doing wasn't working. And that new stuff, as I said, could just be some different formations, some different movements to try to create some, you know, some easier opportunities with his number one and two receiver. But I think what you see most times in these situations is that conceptually the offense stays, you know, heavily the same with, you know, little introductions here or there. And that's going to be the question. Are those little introductions and the little things that you can tweak along the way, are those going to be things that help this team, you know, show some dramatic improvement, you know, through the back half of the season?
We're looking for solutions with our quarterback, Kurt Warner, here on Spiegel and Holmes. Kurt, if Caleb picks up the phone tonight and calls you, he's like, hey, Hall of Famer, I could use a little bit of advice. What advice would you give him on handling this change?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the biggest advice you have for anybody in the situation that he's in is, A, you got to take care of you and the things that you're doing or the things that you can do better. The thing that I always try to tell any quarterback, and it's always harder for a young quarterback, but the things I always try to tell them, you know, the first part of the process is you need to take ownership of the offense. You need to take ownership of what you're going to do moving forward. And what by that I mean, really making sure that you understand what the offense is trying to do. And you make it make sense in your mind. And you take ownership for things that you like and things that you don't like. Things that you really understand and things that you don't understand. Is that it's very easy for any quarterback, you know, in a system where a coach calls or puts in a play in the playbook, and we just go, okay, I'll run it. Like, coach put it in, I'll figure out how to run it. And, you know, when that happens, sometimes we're going in and running plays that it's like, gosh, I don't know what I'm doing in this play. I don't feel comfortable with this play. But instead of, you know, rocking the waters at all, we're going to just kind of run whatever we're given. And I've always felt it was very important for quarterbacks to go, you know what, I don't like that. I like this. And then on top of that is to have the information to be able to know what you don't like about something, right? That's the hardest thing for anybody, is to go in and know that they don't like a play, but to not really be able to know how to improve that play. So then you're telling the coach, hey, I don't like your play. And if you can't tell them why, then they're just going to kind of throw their hands up and go, well, I like this play. I've run it a million times and it's been successful. So if you can't give me information on why, or information on how I can make it better for you, then we're just going to stick with what I've always done because it's been successful. And so to be armed with that information of the why and the understanding of what it's good against and what it's not good against, or why I don't like it this week against what we're seeing defense, or whatever that is, if you don't have and aren't armed with that information, then there's really nothing you can do, because it's hard to challenge your coaches and their thoughts. And again, I'd say challenge in a positive way, you know, be able to, you know, to have that give and take of, hey, I like this play, but if we get cover two, I don't really like it. So do you mind if on the backside, we change this concept to this and this, because then I know if they roll front side, I can get right back side to this concept and I'm very comfortable with it. And now I'm doing what you want to do. And we've got that concept, but I'm also comfortable with it if they change it up, because I know they have this coverage as well. So it's being able to have that give and take. And so the coordinator can understand who you are and how you think and what you like. And you can also understand what the coordinator's trying to do and run that the best that you can, but still feel comfortable that no matter what they give me, I can be successful on this play. But there's a lot of guys that don't understand that yet. They don't have that information. And so when I sit down with young quarterbacks, or when I reach out to young quarterbacks, it's one of the things that I'm always saying to them is that sometimes it's great just to get a different perspective, just to, you know, like your coach may be telling you one thing and you may have heard it another way at a different time in life. Give me a call and let's just talk through it. And I'll talk you through what I would be thinking on this play, just to give you more information on how to handle this play that's in front of you and how to think about this, because we all think about plays differently. You know, no matter who the quarterback is, you give us a play and we all see something different. We process the game differently. So it's important to be able to, A, you would love to have a coordinator that sees the game exactly like you do, and that you have that mesh. And so now when they put a play up there, you're like, oh yeah, I see that exactly the same. But it's sometimes nice to get a different perspective to go, oh, that makes more sense to me. Now I understand where I should put my eyes to start, or if they do this, where I might want to go with the football. And so I think the more perspective and information you can have, the more you can take ownership of an offense, the more you can take ownership of a play, and the more you can get comfortable with what you want to do with that play when you get between the lines on a Sunday afternoon.
Kurt, our next guest is going to be Lance Briggs. It's going to be his debut as one of our weekly guests on the show. You got any memories of him going up against him in those defenses with him and Brian and Mike Brown and Tommy Harris?
It was no fun, you know, from the standpoint of just a competitive standpoint. They were so good, you know, him and Brian, you know, in the middle there and the versatility that they had. But it was always a fun challenge. Like, you always wanted to play against the best. They had one of the best defenses in the league, you know, in my time of playing. And so I always appreciated the games that I played against, you know, the Bears and played against those two guys. And so tell them I said hello. Glad I'm not competing against them anymore, but we had some fun battles for sure.
Kurt, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for getting in on the show today and giving us your point of view.
You got it. No problem, guys.
I love the thought process of what Joe Brady did after they fired Ken Dorsey in Buffalo. And, you know, doing stuff that was comfortable for Josh Allen. Josh Allen, at that point, an all-pro quarterback already. At least a Pro Bowl quarterback. I think second-team all-pro by then. Josh Allen, very, very good. This is a rookie that they failed to set up for success. And now, I don't know that you get a second chance to do that in his rookie year.
It's not apples to apples. It's really one of the few comparisons that we can find of something like this and it being successful. But who knows? It's more than likely that it doesn't work out the way that it worked out for Buffalo.
So much of this stuff that's gone wrong is install and teaching and, you know, an order of exposure and getting a kid ready for the NFL. And that ship has left the dock. That train has left the station. That cow has left the barn.
All of those things. We have got something great for you coming up in the next segment. Lance Briggs is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts about a lot of stuff, including when a coach loses a team in a locker room. He saw it up close. He's going to share with you next on The Score.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.